The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And then we're both wobbly, like, you know, two sailors on a ship that's going down. And I ended up falling a little bit on top of you. And then after, is it okay if I say what you said?
Oh, go for it. Why not?
So, I mean, you know, it's so just, we're supposed to be there and elegant. Instead, we're writhing in the mud.
Lisa Harper shares about life, an obsessively grateful, undone by Jesus, genuinely happy and not faking it through the hard stuff kind of 100-day devotional. Next.
Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. I'm so glad you stopped by, and you're going to be really glad, too, that you tuned in today. I got a letter, technically, I guess not a letter. I got it on my Facebook page from a teenage girl, and she said, my mom keeps buying me these devotional books, and honestly, I think they're so boring. Is there anything else you could suggest? And I said, boy, do I have the book for you. My guest today is Lisa Harper. So first of all, welcome you.
I can't, like, my cheeks are cramping. I'm so happy to be with you. I miss seeing you all the time.
I miss you too. Lisa and I used to work together at Women of Faith, and so then we traveled together every weekend.
I got to spend, I think, 10 years of my life every weekend by your side, which is the only reason I'm not incarcerated right now.
No, we got into quite a lot of trouble.
We got into a lot of trouble, but I feel like so much of my growing up, and even God preparing me to be a mom, is due to you. I'm just indebted to you, and I just think you hung the moon.
So, thank you. Let me tell you why this appeals to every woman from 8 years of age to 88.
Belly rings to bladder control problems.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself, and I wouldn't have put it that way, but there you go. Okay, so it's called Life, an obsessively grateful, undone by Jesus, genuinely happy, and not faking it through the hard stuff, kind of 100-day divorce. It's so brilliant. Let me tell talk to me, what was the genesis of this for you?
I almost blew us up. It was the beginning of COVID, and I got, you know where we live, Missy and I live.
Beautiful.
Out in the boonies, and all of a sudden it was like, you know, I travel for work. And it was like, well, okay, these long months are stretched in front of us, and I'm not a good couch potato, so I thought, I'll just do a little light landscaping. And, you know, I'm single, and so I have chainsaws. And I thought, I'm just going to cut down this tree because it would look better with a bush there because I had just time on my hands. And I'm sawing this tree, the bottom of this tree, with a chainsaw. And I, you know me, I'm a little bit of a delayed responder. And so I just thought, that's odd. And I, you know, I had the safety glasses. I was, you know, had worship music. But I thought, that's odd. I didn't know this chainsaw threw sparks. And then right as I thought that, I smelled propane. And I was like, wah! I mean, I cut through part of a propane line. And I thought, you know, after the emergency crews came and everything and told me I almost blew us up, I thought, you know, I probably need to harness some of this energy over this being discombobulated by, you know, just the whole world changed. And I sensed God saying, Lisa, you think this season is tumultuous, but if you'll look back over your life, you'll see that every valley you've walked through, I was sufficient. And I thought, I'm just going to go back and kind of mine the chapters of my life, you know, the seasons that we were laughing so hard, we had tears streaming down our face, or grieving so deeply I ran out of tears. I thought, I just want to go back through my story and God's story, because I really believe it's redemptive from cover to cover. And it ended up being a devotional book, and I told my publisher that I just, you know, I always feel like sometimes devotional books are written by the saints who have it all together. And I feel like I've got to, like, get my stuff together before I even start reading the devotional. And I said, I want people to feel safe before they open it up. So my only non-negotiable was that crazy subtitle, because I want the woman who says, goodness gracious, how could a perfect God actually delight in it? And a woman like me that has, you know, so many mistakes in my backstory. And so it was much more fun than I expected. So we dive pretty deep. Every devotional has scripture, but it's fun too. A lot of wonderful times with God, whether it was a high or low.
You know what's interesting? For all the years that I've known you, no matter what you're talking about, no matter what you're teaching on, no matter what you're writing, all the strands go back to your passionate belief in the power of the Word of God.
I do.
And I almost felt like this is a safe place for some people who are thinking, I'm not sure where to start.
Right. I'm not sure how to dive into Habakkuk, but maybe I could read a story. I totally agree with you. I think, especially in our culture, I feel like Scripture is either maligned as a punitive rule book, or it's taken as kind of a spiritual smorgasbord. Just reach in and get a meme that you can put on social media because it's inspirational. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's so much better than that. From beginning to end, God is always, if you get the context, He's always restraining evil. He's always restoring our dignity. He's not a mean God. He's not a capricious God. He's a redeemer. And then He's always pointing us toward Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, always. So I see a lot of people who think the Old Testament, or talk to a lot of people who say the Old Testament is like God is a unibrowed librarian, and New Testament, you know, is Jesus with Brett Girl hair extensions hugging everybody. And if that were true, God would be bipolar. That is not who He is.
Yeah.
He is perfectly compassionate, perfectly holy, but so accessible all the way through. It's just we don't usually take the time to get to know the... Remember that VH1 story on show? I don't know if they still have it, and I'm not advocating it. But Behind the Music.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they tell the stories
from
behind why that song was written. I think we don't take the time to go, oh, my goodness, this is a real story. It's a supernatural love story. Let me dig in there, because it's amazing. It's not boring. It's the antithesis of boring.
Yeah. Now, talking about restoring dignity, let me take you to day two. So day one, I'm reading
That's like my favorite devotional.
And I'm like, oh, this is so beautiful. With the real happy, please stand up. Happy of the poor in spirit. Then I get to day two.
You know I couldn't have that story and not put it out there. God would not have let us live that moment if we weren't supposed to share it.
You realize I have the photographs to prove it?
You gotta tell the story.
No, you wrote it. You have to tell the story.
Okay, you know, concise is not my gift. So I'll try to make the story, because this story could be like a week of shows. If you haven't figured out, I am pathologically biased about Sheila. I think she is just... She truly is one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my whole life. And you're much classier than I am. It's like one of these things is not like the other one. But we got invited to be the kind of the hostesses at a Christian movie premiere. And so it wasn't a Hollywood red carpet. It was more strip mall, polypropylene kind of an event. And Barry, at the time, Sheila's husband, had this just claustrophobic little sports car. And so I was in my usual fluffy season. So I was like double Spanx. You were in some gorgeous, elegant outfit. And we get to the movie premiere. And he parked us out at the edge of the parking lot.
He got a new car. He didn't want anybody to come near his car.
I had forgotten.
I need to pack lunch to get to the mall.
I was remembering it even kinder because I love Barry, so I didn't want to castigate Barry in this. So he parks us away from where the event is. But I thought it was so we could fluff and, you know, kind of get better before we walk up to this exciting event.
Polyurethane carpet, yeah,
with like 12 people waiting for us. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sheila gets out just so elegantly and so smoothly, but Barry had parked you right next to a grassy median, and it had rained like the last several days, so you didn't know, because all you saw was the green grass, that it was so muddy, and you were wearing your typical, you know, 4-inch heels, and she got stuck. It was like she was pinned in the mud like a stork, and you were kind of flailing.
Oh, flailing's
kind. And of course, Barry's not rescuing you. He's taking pictures.
No, he's taking
and
photos.
And you are my, like, favorite person and, like, my big sister, and I'm like, I'm going to rescue you, doggone it. But I'm packed in the back of his car in Spanx, so it took me like 13 minutes to get out. I think I broke a nail. I finally get out to rescue you. Well, I'm always have been bigger than you, and I also was wearing heels. So when I go to grab you to stabilize you, I get stuck, and then we're both wobbly like, you know, two sailors on a ship that's going down, and I ended up falling a little bit on top of you. And then after, is it okay if I say what you said?
Oh, go for it. Why not?
So, I mean, we're supposed to be there and elegant. Instead, we're writhing in the mud. Sheila's underneath me, and I hear this beautiful Scottish lilt, "Help, I'm peeing." stop
we were laughing.
Oh, just crying, laughing. And so then we have to somehow get ourselves up from this just messy heap and pretend like, you know, we have it together and walk toward the event. It really was one of the most, I always have so much fun with you. I think the thing I love about you, I am obviously a hot mess. You don't look like a hot mess. There's just something about you that's so, I always feel like there's something about you that's so royal. Oh, not just gosh. Jesus, but you are elegant. But you never, ever put up a facade. You know, there's just this honest, I can't make it without Jesus.
Do you remember we never even made it into the movie?
Yeah, we
because couldn't. We were so
well,
muddy.
The whole back of us was, we were like the swamp creature. But we tried, you had to do that television show, remember?
I know.
They had like the drone and the
Tony
camera.
Tony Romo was there.
Oh, yeah, oh, that's right. I forgot
oh, it was
about
awful.
That. I just stood behind you and cackled most of the time.
But the fact you included it, I feel so honored.
I felt like it was very holy. I felt like I could, it was a little bit of a stretch, but I was pretty sure I could get us to scripture.
Okay, so some of the stories are funny, but some of them, I mean, you could call it, there's depth here, Lisa.
Yeah.
This is a deep, profound book. Mm-hmm. Day 62, you talk about the holiness of helplessness.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. One of my favorite living theologians, and I know yours too, is Dr. Tim Keller. Mm-hmm. And I was studying the Gospel of Mark, and you know that story where the dad of the sick kid, and because my little girl that adores you, your Aunt Sheila, but I got to be Missy's mom through the miracle of adoption, and Missy was really, really sick when I started the story, and so I identify with a parent who's worried mm-hmm. about a child's physical health. And there's that point where he confesses to Jesus, when he thinks his son is dying, he says, I believe, in other words, I know you're the Christ, I know you could help, but I'm dying today. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'm gonna lose my son. Help me in my unbelief.
Yeah.
And I was studying that story, and it was especially resonant with me because of some of Missy's health issues and my fear. You know, I want to be so faithful and know that God is always good, but I am so stinking human that sometimes I forget and I get scared. And I was reading a Tim Keller commentary on that particular story in Mark's gospel, and he said, and you know, he's such a brilliant theologian and godly man. It kind of surprised me coming from him, but he said that it is helplessness, not holiness, that's the first step to accessing intimacy with God.
Wow.
And I
profound.
Just, that slayed me. I thought, you know, sometimes I try to come before the Lord with all of my, whatever little, you know, power that I have. Power is the mm-hmm. wrong word, but competence, mm-hmm. thinking he'll kind of bless that. And it's like he tells me over and over again, you come to me with what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Come to me with your absolute lack, and I will bring vibrancy out of void. Mm-hmm. And so come to me when your heart is in pieces. Bring all of yourself, even the messy, scared parts, to all of me, and I will redeem it. And so I do think, just recognizing the fact that we can't save ourselves, can't heal ourselves, mm-hmm. can't infuse ourselves with peace when life is hard, I think to bring that before the Lord and confess our neediness, I think that's really critical for us to have a vibrant, intimate relationship with God. I was telling a friend the other day, I said, it's kind of like you got to peel off your Spanx when you come before Jesus. Don't try to hold your stomach in and act like you have it all together. You just go, you know me. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows the places where I've been so foolish and my faith has been so feeble. And yet he still calls me not just daughter, but he's like, I think you hung the moon. His his kindness.
Yeah.
It just gets bigger, doesn't it?
It does.
The older I get, the more undone I am by the kindness of God.
It's so beautiful. It's almost like the capacity increases. And
it does.
Almost as if suffering makes space for a bigger picture of God.
I think that, you know, of course, the veil, the salvific veil between us and God was torn when Jesus gave up his life on the cross. And so I want to be careful with semantics, but there's still, you know, Paul says we see through the glass dimly. So we have a blurry lens. Effectively, you take human finitude and you try to look at the magnitude of God. We can't see him perfectly clearly. I do think suffering, difficulty, pain, if we bring that to the Lord, I think that blur gets a little more clear.
Yeah.
I feel like the times that I've seen God the clearest have been when I'm honest enough to recognize how desperate I am for him. I was, I've gone back to school.
Yeah, doing your doctorate.
Doing a doctorate. But just to see Jesus, he's revealed to us through Revelation, Holy Spirit, and Holy Writ. And so I just want to see Jesus bigger. Plus, I'm an old mom. Missy's 11, I'm 57. And I think it's one thing for me to say, honey, learning is good. It's another thing for her to see me to her doing my homework. But I was in a class with this professor has since become, he's the head of my dissertation team, so I have to brag on him because I want to pass. But his whole point over and over and over again, he says you have to study the Bible with the understanding that God is always in the process of mitigating evil. He's always in the process of restoring our inherent dignity as his image bearers. He's always in the process of turning us toward the true north of Jesus Christ. He was talking about a passage in Scripture. This was 2 years ago. It was like my second class at Denver. And he just uncovered this kindness of God in a passage I had understood to be punitive. Like, I thought God was kind of angry in that passage. And I was so taken aback. I thought, I've been studying the Bible for 40 years and it just gets better. He gets bigger. And class was over and everybody left. And I just couldn't get out of my chair. I was so overwhelmed that I just began to weep at the kindness of God. And Dr. Howard had forgotten something. He came back into class, and there I sit, this older woman blubbering in his class. And he was kind of taken aback. I think he probably thought she needs to be in the counseling track, not studying hermeneutics. And so he was kind of taken aback, but he said, "Are you okay?" And I just said, I can't believe he's even better than I hoped he'd be. And I feel like that as a believer. I feel like I'm still kind of in the honeymoon season with Jesus. He's better than ever. And God's Word reveals that. Yeah. We do ourselves such a disservice when we think this is boring, or we only open it up to be dutiful, or we use it as a club to knock somebody over the head that we disagree with. I'm like, oh, it's so much better than that, so much more liberating.
Coming out of, 2020, last year was just, it was
difficult.
Very, very difficult. What does the companionship of Christ in the places that make no sense do for you?
I told you off camera because I trust you and love you. But we had someone very, very, very close to us commit suicide just about a month into COVID. And so COVID had already, caused most of us to be so discombobulated, at least in our generation. It was unprecedented. And, there were just so many personal things that were confusing, and then globally you're like, goodness gracious, I can't watch the news anymore. I'm gonna eat more carbs than I normally do. I lived off chips and queso for about 6 months there. But after this suicide, I felt like just the harshness of life had kind of knocked the legs out from under my stool. And it was the presence of God just sitting there with me in that sad place. He was almost palpable. I mean, I would sit on my front porch and cry while Missy was still asleep, just grieving this death of someone I love very much. And it was, there's the times that you go, I can almost see him. I can't see him with my eyes, but in my spirit, God is right next to me in this other rocking chair, just with me. Yeah. The withness of God. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make it without the withness of God. And because I tend to be a big talker, too verbose, and I'm usually running a little bit too fast, sometimes it's in the dark and it's in those quiet spaces that the static in my head gets quiet enough to actually recognize his presence. So I don't think he's bigger in the dark and the hard places. I just think
you see better in the dark.
Yeah.
I know that every single one of you, you're going to want this book, not just for yourself. You're going to want one if you've got children, if you've got nieces and nephews. You're going to want this book, and I'm going to tell you how you can get it. We're going to send it to you. But first of all, I want to ask you to help us with something. The last time I was in Africa, just the lack of clean water was astounding. And I think when Jesus washes your eyes again and you see better, you want to make a difference. So let me ask you, would you watch this? Thank you.
it's been absolutely devastating to see how hard these people work to get water, and it's not a clean source of water. To have talked to so many mothers who've had to bury their children, it's something that should never happen.
I'm so sorry.
This is water that will kill you. This is death water.
Hi. ถ้าบ้องฉลับมาได้น้องบ้องเกมุนให้การนั้นปกยวนตรงในตะลวกปกเนี่ยจูตกสันให้การนั้นเคยเกตเอาแปลงเตียดไม้พญาเตาจะบ่เตาเตียดเปิ้ลไม้น้ำดูตะชตังยอมเอาน้ำพักน้ำอัดพักน้ำตะดูตักเพลียน
This is not water that you can live from. We have to do as much as we can. Help us take the gospel. Help us demonstrate the gospel as we bring them water for life.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be a precious little girl. And what brings you to tears is the thought that perhaps you're going to die the same way your brothers or sisters died. But I cannot, I mean, honestly, in all of our trips, I haven't spent time with one family where that's not a reality. I've been with mothers who have buried three children. I mean, one of the mothers, in fact, you saw her in that piece, gave me the privilege of walking with her to where she'd buried her girl. And, you know, it was just... What do you say? I mean, what do you say when the only reason these children are dying isn't because of some bizarre disease they got and something like cancer or heart disease or something that you just could not possibly have seen that coming, but it was simply because they're drinking water that is contaminated. But it's like a Sophie's choice. Do I give my children this water that's contaminated, knowing that potentially it could kill them, or do I give them no water? And there's nothing worse than watching a child die of thirst. You know, it's easy to watch something like that and think, well, why don't they just go to the village? That is the village. When we drive in these jeeps for hours to get to the most remote parts to bring the good news of Jesus. But I kind of feel like to have the right to bring the good news of Jesus to these people, you have to take care of what's killing them first. How can you tell them about the water of life when they've never tasted water that's clean in their life? This is something that James and Betty have been passionate about for so many years. And so our commitment this year is to put 350 fresh wells drilled in over 20 nations. I'll never forget the day when we were in Zambia and we drove on from what had been a devastating situation to a place where there was this well and it said, given by the viewers of Life Outreach International. I went bonkers. I literally danced around the well. It was just so glorious because of you. So let's do it again. We've broken this down to make it doable because this is the last week. We've made this commitment and we don't want to drill one less well than we've promised. So for $48, that provides clean water for 10 people, not for a month, for life. $144, 30 people. Some of you might be able to actually put in a complete well, maybe your Sunday school class or your business. Do you know that for $4,800, that will drill a well that will provide clean water for life for 1,000 people? Where else could you do something like that that will make such an impact? And the great news is our partners are on the ground at the moment and they're just waiting. They're just waiting for the funds so we can say, go ahead, drill the well. So please, would you call now? Would you call that number on the screen and just give what you have? And if we all do that, we can change the world in Jesus' name.
Waterborne illness is a killer that strikes the most vulnerable. For many impoverished families, the death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, fresh drinking water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you James Robison's book, Living Amazed. Full of inspirational true stories, you'll learn how divine encounters can change your life. In addition, you'll also receive Randy Robison's brand new devotional, Upgrade, 7 Moves in 7 Weeks to a Better Life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Thin Line Bible with easy-to-read large print. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Thanks so much. If the lines are busy, keep calling. Keep calling and get through. And remember, for any gift at all, we're going to send you Lisa Harper's book, Life, an obsessively grateful, undone by Jesus, genuinely happy and not faking it through the hard stuff kind of 100-day devotional. It's just awesome. Remember, this is the last week of our drilling water wells. So we need you to call. If you haven't called yet, you've been holding back for a bit, let's do it. Let's make sure we bless people in Jesus' name. And Lisa, I just want to say this is fantastic, and I'm so grateful that God put us on the planet at the same time.
At the same time, I know. What a gift for me.
All right, so I'm Sheila Walsh for James, Betty, and all of us here at Life Today. We love you. So until we see you next time, I'm Sheila Walsh saying goodbye. God bless you.
While enduring a tremendous amount of pain and heartache, Dawn Barton learned to start laughing through the ugly cry. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.